We're giving, especially when I worked in weddings. We've got 14-hour shifts, no breaks, constantly there to service, make sure that that day is the best day of everybody's life. So we're trained to do those authentic connections with people, but we only have so much reserve. There's not much left for us. And as the saying is, you really can't pour from an empty cup.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Burnt Chef Journal, a hospitality-specific podcast dedicated to challenging mental health stigma and conversations designed to inspire a new, healthier, happier, and more sustainable hospitality profession. The Burnt Chef Project is proudly sponsored by Lamb Weston, a leading provider of innovative, high-quality potato products created for chefs to help operators thrive both today and tomorrow. Working carefully with sustainably minded farmers and growers, Lamb Weston provides potato solutions for every type of kitchen, from premium British chips and fries to potato shapes, wedges and mash. To find out more, head to lambweston.eu or search your partner in potatoes.
Hello, everybody. My name's Julia Erdl, your Burnt Chef Ambassador, and I'm pleased to be guest hosting another mini podcast series for the Burnt Chef Project, supporting our hospitality sector by openly discussing mental health and providing enriching conversations to inspire and motivate you. Did you know 4 out of 5 hospitality professionals report having experienced at least one mental health issue during their career? The Burnt Chef Project is a globally recognized not-for-profit social enterprise fully committed to making the hospitality profession healthier and more sustainable by focusing on people's well-being first. This is why it has never been more important to be talking about our mental health. For more information on this amazing project, go to www.theburntchefproject.com. Now, a little bit about me. I'm a professional chef, educator, speaker, self-discovery coach, writer, and radio personality. I've made it my purpose to guide midlife women to live a life of freedom and authenticity, taking them on a journey of self-discovery through the power of cooking and coaching. I learned firsthand that to make any real change in your life, you have to start from within. You can find me online at therecipeforlife.com. Now, I'm so excited about my podcast topic this week, compassion fatigue. Wow, I'd not really heard that term before, to be honest. But what is it? So compassion fatigue, it's a type of burnout that occurs when we experience prolonged exposure to the suffering and trauma of others. Compassion fatigue is often a result of consistently caring for and supporting others without taking time to replenish one's own emotional reserves. Now, I am so happy to have a fantastic guest who knows all about this and who's going to fill us in and give us some really amazing tools and information. And her name is Jennifer Randall. And Jenny, I'm going to introduce you. She is a qualified counselor, well-being and mindfulness coach with an expertise in addiction and trauma. And she is passionate about reconnecting and resetting our well-being and mental health. Jenny's favorite quote, she gave me this, was, "What's important in my world, everything and anything to do with mental health." So she's definitely the one to talk to. And if that wasn't enough, Jenny also spent 11 years working in the hospitality sector in professional kitchens, pubs, corporate events and wedding venues. Welcome, Jenny.
Hi, Julia.
Hello, darling. So lovely to have you here. Now, let you in on a little secret. Jenny and I have known each other for a very long time. And in fact, Jenny and I have worked on many hospitality events together and in my cookery classes. So that is how I know you. And I wanted to share that with the listeners because I love Jenny. She is amazing. And I've watched Jenny in her journey through all of her counseling and, you know, just seeing her grow and grow and grow and become this incredible woman that she is. So I'm so happy to be talking to her. So Jenny, talk to us more, because when you told me about compassion fatigue, to be honest, one, I'd never heard of it. But once you explained it to me, it became so clear. Because I thought, wow, you know, I could really see how it relates to the hospitality sector. You know, it obviously relates to a lot of things, but the way it relates to our hospitality sector, I could really understand it actually. And I wanted to talk more with you about that.
Yeah, well, when I first started thinking about compassion fatigue and learned all about it, I was watching the hospitality industry and the people that I work with, and I really appreciated that due to the demanding nature of your work, that you got long hours, you're under high pressure, you must consistently meet the expectation of your customers. So whereas we thought that this was just limited to doctors, nurses, and anyone in that healing industry, I was witnessing that actually, no, I'm seeing this in people in the hospitality industry. You know, all of these long hours, we're emotionally exhausted, decreased ability to empathize with others. And then you add to that the fast-paced work, you know, all these people around you, you've got your team, they're talking to you about, you know, their problems, and then you've got to serve the customers, and you're giving empathy all the time. All the time, you're just giving empathy here, there, and then your emotional pot, that's empty because there's nothing left. And when you go to tap into it, it's like, oh, wow, no, there's nothing left for me. So the other thing that I take into consideration as well is training courses. In training courses, we're trained to always tap in empathically to our customer, to our client. We're giving, especially when I work in weddings. We've got 14-hour shifts, no breaks, constantly there to service, make sure that that day is the best day of everybody's life. So we're trained to do those authentic connections with people, but yeah, we only have so much reserve. There's not much left for us. And as the saying is, you really can't pour for an empty cup. And our well-being pot is just gone. It's completely gone. So the other thing as well that you take into consideration is that you've given all this empathy out to everybody. And then we add on top of that, you know, looking at world events, the things like the pandemic and the news, and it's unavoidable. We can't stop watching this stuff and seeing this stuff. And we're emphasizing with the people on the telly, and then we're on TikTok, we're on Instagram, we're on all those social media sites, and we're looking at all of this stuff and all this content, all this exposure. And we are just emotionally burnt out.
Yeah. No, I can really feel that. I can hear how passionate you are about it. And actually, I could really feel it inside myself as well, just in actually as a woman in particular, to be honest, and as a mum, you know, someone who works, who has a household as well. And, you know, I imagine knowing the sector so well with all of the chefs and, you know, all the people that I know within that sector, just the experience of having to, you're kind of standing to attention all the time, aren't you? You're constantly having to make sure that everyone is happy, is pleased, making sure that the food is cooked properly, making sure that the customers are happy, whether you're front of house, back of house, you know, either way, you are having to support others. You're having to support everyone else. And I've learned this myself in sort of mental health training. You know, you can't pour from an empty cup. You really can't, right? And I was just wondering, like, when you talk about it, and obviously, like, you know, the fact that once you're sort of constantly giving, you mentioned about burnout, you mentioned about the fact that, you know, what is that? What does that look like? What can it look like for some people? Just so that maybe others out there can recognize when they might be experiencing this type of fatigue, this compassion fatigue.
I think certainly one thing is that it is a state of physical and mental exhaustion, and it is caused by a depleted ability to cope with everyday life. And it leaves one feeling emotionally drained to a point where the only self-survival mechanism is detachment. So the end result of that is burnout. But certainly I recognise that there's been times when I just detach, just pull away and become very internalised when I'm working on an event, because I just have to take a minute and breathe, because I'm just got nothing left in that sort of 13th hour of that day that I'm just like, oh, I'm done a bit here. I need to look after myself a little bit. But, you know, it's all mood swings, irritability, anxiety, tiredness, all the things associated with burnout and that constant feeling.
Wow. That's really interesting. So when you talk about a survival method, the way to survive is through detachment. And we do that as well as humans, don't we? We tend to often drop into a mode of survival when things are getting on top of us, right? So in terms of detachment, I mean, is that a good thing? Is it a bad thing? You know, what is it in terms of that?
You know, any coping mechanism is something that we need. So I can't say if it's good or bad because we use different things to cope. But in that moment of time, it works. You know, so whatever it is, it works. And detachment is something, it just gives you that minute in that crazy world to go, oh, sigh, you know, and recover.
Recover, exactly. Kind of get yourself, maybe like, you know, just pull yourself back within yourself and just feel better about what you're in, the situation you're in, I guess, you know, in some ways. I mean, in terms of detachment, like you talk about breathing, and I think breath is really important. And I know, you know, I've talked about this in other podcasts before, and, you know, we do tend to talk about that a lot in the mental health sector. So, you know, in order to detach yourself, what could you do then? Maybe just a couple of quick tools.
Certainly breathing is your go-to. I always, with my clients, I always speak about, you don't need to lay on the bed and breathe for 30 minutes. In your day, take a minute. Take a minute, but try a minute 10 times a day. Make it habit. Boil the kettle. Take time to breathe. Just, you know, I breathe in for 4 and out for 8. But just do it minutes at a time and do it when you don't feel stressed. So it becomes a habit that you're getting off that treadmill of anxiety, that you can breathe and just relax and get used to what that feels like.
Yeah. So I guess before the build up comes to a kind of crescendo, right? It's to actually recognize it prior to that, to just actually take stock before you actually reach that crisis point, I guess.
Yeah.
And understanding that, right? Yeah. Now, I know you mentioned about what it does feel like. And you said things like mood swings, irritability, you know, tearfulness. And I guess, would that be when you've kind of maybe hit that point where you need to stop? You know, you've obviously reached that, I guess, really top end of the scale of compassion fatigue. Mm. Yeah.
So, you know, it's the self-awareness we have. It's just to really develop your own self-awareness, your own emotional intelligence. Be able to really check in with yourself. Don't ignore the signs. You know, we get that feeling of actually, do I feel okay? Take a moment to stop and think, do I feel okay? What do I feel like? And check in with yourself. And that's the quickest way to sort of early recognize, actually, no, I don't feel okay. Rather than plowing on and plowing on till you get to that real crisis point of you burst into tears. You're like, nope, actually, I'm really not okay. Try and check in early. Try and look at what you need early to help bring yourself back down, not to reach that anxious state.
Absolutely.
I mean, things really important that I always say is just be kind to yourself. Be kind to yourself. And especially when you're feeling stressed at work, take 10 minutes to do something you like. You don't have to have the day off, but you can take 10 minutes to take a walk outside, 10 minutes to stroke your dog. There's lots of things that you can do that are just short-term, quick fixes just to help up your emotional cup.
Yeah, no, that's really beautiful. And I think the key, actually, you know, is really in the word, in the description, compassion fatigue. I think taking away the fatigue element, compassion, and tell us a little bit more about that, because obviously compassion, what does that mean?
Compassion is just that feeling for others, isn't it? It's that giving, is giving to others. And as mothers, we do that naturally for our children. But then we'll go into the workplace and we'll do that naturally for our teammates, our colleagues. It's that feeling, that empathy of listening and being available for somebody.
If you're enjoying this week's episode, consider heading over to our website and supporting our ongoing work in destigmatizing mental illness and creating a healthier, happier, and more sustainable industry. by purchasing some of our branded merchandise. We have a whole range of t-shirts, hoodies, chef's jackets, well-being journals, plus a whole host more available on Worldwide Dispatch. All funds raised from sales of these items go towards free-to-access e-learning content, as well as providing free support systems and help for those who may be experiencing difficulty with their mental health.
Yeah, but then obviously, I know we were talking before about compassion for yourself then, because we have a lot of compassion. You know, many of us do have compassion. We understand compassion. We know how to practice compassion, but the compassion seems to be constantly dished out to everyone else. Or, you know, and they tell us, don't they? We're conditioned in society. We're conditioned when we're young. Yeah. You know, be compassionate, be understanding. Oh, don't do that. You know, oh, be nice, be nice. You know, it's like, well, when you're young, instead of being told to be compassionate, you're told, be nice, be a good girl, be a good boy, you know, do this, do that. Oh, be kind to them. And so obviously we're conditioned to constantly do that. But nobody says, be kind to yourself. Be nice to yourself, right?
Exactly. Yeah. We don't. We automatically, we say it and we talk about self-care. But then, you know, how many of us can actually say, this is what I do for self-care. This is what I do to recharge my batteries. It's like, yep, we know it, we say it, but do we do it?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Like genuinely, how many of us can genuinely put our hands up and actually say, yeah, every day for, you know, half an hour, this is what I do for my self-care. It's so true, isn't it? So I guess what would be really good is to maybe make some suggestions. How can we be more compassionate to ourselves? So obviously we talked about taking a moment, breathing, taking yourself away from, say, like a stressful situation. But what about when you are a bit calmer, or when you're not in the situation? Or what about, you know, what is it that we can actually incorporate into our day or our week specifically so that we are practicing compassion for ourselves?
Well, it's finding things that you like, that you want to do, things that help you feel safe, secure and calm. And, you know, spending time with people, positive people, being mindful of maybe the negative people that might drain you a little bit. The one thing that I do want to speak about is certainly limiting the time to content on TVs and on social media, because it becomes habit forming. So, you know, still do it, but be choose what you're going to watch. Make sure it's something a bit more positive and upbeat. Turn that news off. And yeah, keeping on top of things indoors, just all your admin, and making sure that you're not stressed under the pressures of things like that. And spend time relaxing. Just take a moment to relax, whatever it may look like. You know, that may look like many different things, but whatever it is for you, take time to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I think that sometimes can be something that us chefs and those of us that work in hospitality kind of like maybe forget about. Like, we struggle to relax, do you know what I mean, sometimes, and to, you know, recharge. And more often than not, it's you come off a busy shift, you then go home, you go to bed, you know, you get up, you start, do it all again, do you know what I mean? Yeah. And we're just not sure, you know, how to do that. So yeah, definitely, I think taking some time out and actually specifically, you know, putting that into your day or into your week to really recharge. And one of the things I know you said as well is, you know, what drains our battery the most is lack of sleep. You talk about that. So tell me a bit more about that.
Sleep underpins everything. If we don't have any sleep, and you know, when we're in this sort of state and state of burnout, you know, sleep is something that can be, we can miss, and it can be very broken. So it's learning to try and do some relaxation techniques, do some breathing techniques, learn some meditation. And simple meditation is everywhere. You can go on YouTube and find meditation anywhere and just learn some of these things to just help that busy, busy brain just calm down, just soothe. So certainly, yeah, one thinks we've got to have 8 hours sleep, but maybe not. Maybe just resting, maybe just laying down and letting ourselves unwind can be as helpful as having this sleep.
Yeah, for sure. I know. There is always talk. There's a lot of talk, isn't there, out there about making sure you get your 8 hours sleep a day. And I think sometimes some bodies, you know, okay with that sort of 7 hours, some like 9 hours. You know what I mean? I think it's listening to your body, isn't it? What you said, just, you know, allowing yourself to come back within yourself and just that moment, isn't it? So again, like, there's nothing wrong with napping in the day as well. You know, I have a nap sometimes, do you know what I mean? You know, even for 15 minutes, you know, I might take a little moment and just, you know, have a little just quiet time and close my eyes. Because I know you practice mindfulness, don't you? You actually practice mindfulness, and you teach others to practice mindfulness as well. Yeah. And maybe, you know, you might be able to give us a couple of tips on how to be a little bit more mindful, I guess, especially for those in hospitality sector.
One of the things that I always say to some of my clients is, at the end of the day, when you stop, just have a think of a positive, think of a negative. They may be the same thing sometimes, but then always think of something you're grateful for, something that, you know, you really cherish. And it can be the smallest thing, like you actually drunk your tea hot that day, but just be grateful for the small things that happen and be mindful about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Gratitude is such a key one, isn't it? And, you know, obviously I encourage all my clients to keep gratitude journals, to gratitude every day. And, you know, and sometimes if you feel yourself maybe slipping into maybe something, maybe feeling a little bit negative about something, try to think about something that you're grateful for in the same breath, to almost bring yourself back out of that sort of negative mindset. Because obviously at the end of the day, learning to think about the positive will help to uplift you, won't it? And you know, keep you looking forward rather than looking behind you. Do you know what I mean? And, you know, and I've always been a big advocate of that, like the whole gratitude thing. It really helped me through some tough times. And just, you know, I always suggest think about 5 things you're grateful for in the morning and 5 at night. If at the very least, you know, just do that. Do you know what I mean? And I always think that helps people, you know, a lot of the time. So, I mean, you've touched on self-awareness. You've talked about self-awareness. Would you be able to maybe tell us a little bit more about self-awareness and maybe how we can be a little bit more self-aware?
Self-awareness is just really being really in tune with yourself, because we put up sort of blocks and barriers that we can ignore what exactly is going on for us. So I think certainly increasing your emotional vocabulary about different words that you actually feel. I mean, you've got the 6 big emotions, but there's so many secondary emotions as well. So it's really learning, you know, yeah, I'm angry, but actually I'm angry, but I'm also jealous and I'm a bit disappointed. And it's just having more of a vocabulary to be able to use, so that you can look at it and think, oh, I'm not just angry. Actually, there's a lot more going on for me here. And when we start to discover what else is out there and how we feel, then we're not so hard on ourselves. We can look and show that compassion to ourselves, and we know what we're working with. So it's just being mindful of behaviours as well. If suddenly you got a bit of displacement in your anger and you've acted in a way that doesn't fit what's actually going on, take a moment to think, is that really me? Is that how I behave? Because sometimes we then become strangers to ourselves.
Yeah, no, for sure. Absolutely. I really like that. Sometimes we become strangers to ourselves. That's really beautiful. And that is true. I remember even myself when I was going through a particularly tough time, I'd sort of almost lost touch with myself. And I actually didn't know, wasn't sure, you know, who I was anymore. You know, what did I represent? What was my purpose? What was my values? You know, one of the things I found was to just sit with myself and actually get back in touch with my values, with my belief system, with the things that mattered to me, to help me to kind of almost come back in within to myself, actually. So that's a really nice thing, actually, Jenny. I really like that. So I really wanted to talk about this because I love this. And now I know you are currently developing some workshops for young people named Wellness Tools for Life. Now, obviously, as you know, hospitality sector, we have a lot of young people coming into the industry, a lot of young people sort of, you know, training as chefs. I've taught them. And then obviously going into working in the kitchens from some of them as young as 16. Do you know what I mean? And I think it'd be really nice to talk about that, because I know this is an area that you are really particularly passionate about, is young people and sort of mental well-being and wellness and health for young people. So could you tell us a bit more about that?
Yeah, wellness tools are life. So this idea was just developed from, you know, years of working with young people. I've worked in addiction and I've worked with adults. And the work that I've been doing with adults, some of these skills and techniques, they've said to me, why wasn't we taught this at school? You know, I'd rather have learned this than learn maths on RE. And I said, yeah, you know, it's really recognisable that we are not taught these skills in school. We're not. We have a school counsellor that, we, you know, if we're lucky, we get to see, and mental health teams. But, you know, that's all, again, a little bit too late. We want to help the younger generation. We want to get in there quickly. And we at the moment, our plans are to work with sort of age 11 upwards to 18. And then we're developing long term. We want to do wellness tools for life for adults as well. But it's just giving them skills, techniques, tools that they can use for their whole life, and just building on that emotional intelligence, helping them with their self-awareness, mindfulness. They can experience all of this thing at a young age and just take that into the future for them.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's really amazing, actually, Jenny, and I wish you the best of luck with that, because it's much needed. Me and other sort of, you know, mental health practitioners and anyone sort of really in that sort of, you know, helping industry, we've had lots of discussions about this, just, you know, as young people, as young children, adults, why are we not taught these things? Why is this not incorporated into the school curriculum? I know they have things like PSHE. I just don't feel that there's enough done around, and I think some of it maybe is to do with the fact that teachers need training as well in this sort of thing.
Yeah,
because there's, you know, I would imagine teachers probably have a lot of compassion fatigue, actually.
I think so too. I mean, we're hoping that one day we can take our workshops into schools. I mean, that's something, you know, we've thought about, but one step at a time. We're just going to start with our local young people and hopefully, you know, spread the word. But we want to take our workshops everywhere, you know, and sort of train people to be able to deliver them.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, really commend you for that, and just, it's amazing. You know, I really honestly do wish you the best of success with it, really, because it is a vital, vital service, and we need to see that. We want to empower our young people, right? We want to, we want to install them with those skills and that, you know, the ability to self-manage, so that they go into the sector, and if they go into hospitality or anywhere, wherever they're going, you know, whatever they're doing, whether it's university, that they have those tools that they're, like you said, they can take for life, which is amazing. Now, for anyone out there who is experiencing anything like this or is experiencing compassion fatigue, you know, what would be your advice anyway?
Certainly to do the self-care steps, you know, try those. Meditation, look at all of these different things to help yourself, and ultimately, you know, seek therapy. It's not taboo. You can go, you know, I strongly still believe that it should be like going to the dentist. You should go for checkups on your mental health, check in. You haven't got to have weeks and months of therapy. You can just go along, check in, speak to your therapist, and just, you know, do that work on yourself. It is important.
100%. And I know you have a practice, so Jenny, you must tell everybody where they can find out more about you and how they can get in touch if they want to have a chat with you.
So I have a practice in both Maldon in Essex and in Gatestone, and you can get hold of me by Instagram and Facebook. I'm on there as Jennifer Reindl Therapy. And our Wellness Tools for Life website will be launched in the next few weeks. So if you want to know more about that, that is on Instagram, but we will have a website up and running soon. As I said, it's a new idea that's being developed, but hopefully it will be flying.
Yeah, fantastic. No, that's amazing. So just remember that, everyone, the website's coming out soon, Wellness Tools for Life. And if you want to get in touch with Jenny, then Jennifer, JENNIFER, Reindl, RAINDLE, Therapy, TheraPy, Jennifer Reindl Therapy on Insta and Facebook. Jenny, you have been an absolute star, an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for being my guest. I really appreciate it. Thank you. Say bye-bye to everybody.
Bye. Bye.